Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, he'll have the call in Vegas tonight on TSN4. Here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. What's the mood like down there around this team?
It kind of feels a little tense. Kind of feels like this is a big game. As I said on my SportsCenter hit, it's not like Mike Babcock can say he doesn't listen or he doesn't read, the media reports about the team, but the guys do. Like they're in their 20s. They're on social media. They know what's going on. They hear reports, and it's impossible not to think that, man, there's a lot of stuff going on or potentially could go on. And there feels like there's some urgency to this game here tonight. Like that, and really it's not news, because you can't just keep saying, hey, we think we're better and we'll be better down the road. Like they got to get better pretty quick.
Yeah, the players only meeting, you guys, I'm sure, have been in many of them. I've always, as an outsider, just considered that to be simply cosmetic. Like, hey, make sure you leak it out to the media that we had a players-only meeting.
Nah, sometimes there's things said that there can be a purpose to it.
Really?
There can be things that are uncomfortable that get out of the way, where if somebody's struggling and they're dogging it and they got a high profile, and someone will look at them and say, you, I don't know what you think you're doing, but you're garbage right now and you got to be better. And then it'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, you're right. Like, just stuff like that, where it's like somebody gets called out where they usually everyone's, oh, you can't say that about that guy, but someone will stand up. And I don't know, that's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Sometimes you end up, those meetings end up rather where the same thing gets said five times, and then someone goes, okay, that's enough. You know, okay, we got it. We've got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do this. But I always liked it a little bit that the coaches weren't there, and everybody's a little more free to speak what they think. And it can't hurt. It can never hurt. But as far as leaking it out to the media, the guys don't leak it out to the media. The media is standing around. They're there to talk after practice. And like, yeah, the players are having a meeting. Like the PR department tells everybody that's why you can't get access to the players, is they're sitting in a meeting right now.
Well, has your coach ever come up in a players only meeting? In other words, hey, this guy's taking a lot of heat. Do we want to save him? Or we got to save him?
I've never seen one go that way.
I've never seen a meeting go that way. Okay. Well,
here's the thing I'll say before we, it gets too far into this, or the players playing to not save Babcock's job. I've never understood that, because you might think that, if you choose to, you could say, okay, if we don't play well, he's going to get fired, and that's a good thing. Whether it's Mike Babcock or Rick Lee back in the day in Hartford, or whoever you guys had as your coaches. The problem is, while you're thinking that, the management might say, yeah, it could turn this around if we trade him. And so while you're waiting for the coach to get fired, you're on a plane somewhere you don't want to go.
Yeah.
That's more likely to happen than you're going to get the coach fired. Like, I don't think that happens.
Well, tonight, it might be a luxury in Toronto that it's a 10 o'clock game, midweek. It's not going to be as easy to catch it live. This will probably be a highlight game for some people. The old wake up in the middle of the night, let's see what they've done. And I don't have a good feeling. But that's based on the previous five games.
Well, we were talking the first commercial break. It seems like it's going to be 3-2 or 7-0. One of the, like a tight
3-2 Leafs, tight. Freddie, 40 stops.
Or game over, watch out. Vegas is kind of, they're looking for a win here too. So it's going to be a tight win for the Leafs, or an absolute, this is not exactly guessing the world here, but that's what I
feel.
Well,
the reason you think that, though, is because when they get anything going in the wrong direction, they can't stop it.
No.
That's why.
Yeah, and I don't feel confident that they can play a tight game against a good team and win a 3-2 game.
I can't even
visualize that right now.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be a grinded out tight checking game or not. But Vegas got right in a hurry against Calgary on Sunday. right? Like, what they won 6-0. They hadn't scored in forever. All of a sudden, everybody's scoring. Everybody's doing great. Everybody's happy. Mark Stone scored again. Cody Eakin scored his first goal in 18 games. They scored a power play goal. Nate Schmidt got 4 assists. And that's what Toronto's coming into. And, you know, Pooley, you mentioned, like, when they run into hot water, they haven't been able to cool it off all year. And this is a, you know, they're making a change on the defense pairs. Dermott's going to play with Barry, and Hall is going to play with Muzzin. And, you know, they're going to get Pierre Engvall in the lineup tonight. And I don't know, it seems like they're shuffling around some deck chairs. And to me, this all comes down to two things. Jake Muzzin mentioned it yesterday, is their commitment to play. Like, you know, you've got to play in your own end. You can't just sort of pretend you're going to be there. And the other is a willingness to do it. And the guys haven't shown a willingness to do it for long enough to turn this around. They do it for a period here or 10 minutes there, but they better be sharp tonight, or else this one could go south in a hurry.
Well, to me, they don't do it, Ray, because it's really hard. And most of them haven't had to face hard. And they just haven't. They've had pretty golden paths and pretty golden, you know, rides to this point, and everything's been good. And when you're going through a phase in the last couple of years, even when you lose in the first round of the playoffs, it's not adversity, because you're still a team on the rise, and everything's going to be okay. And by the way, they're out of the city in 2 days. They don't even stop to listen.
Right.
So right now, they're right in the middle of it, I think, for the first time since this group of players has been here. And by this group, you're really pointing to the seven guys.
The young guys.
Well, it's
the guys they've committed to.
It's the seven guys that are still here from the first game of last year. There's only seven new faces that were the same as opening night last year. And it's the first time they've seen this kind of adversity.
Well, and they've been paid to fight through it. Mm-hmm. They've been paid adequately enough almost not to ever meet adversity like this, but that's not realistic. I mean, pro sports, you run into it. Every team does.
They've been paid for this to be a blip on the screen.
Right, that's it.
And you mow it down.
That's what they've been paid to do.
This has become a major point in their season.
Well, for me, like, it almost becomes, like, to your thought about it being a major point, it's almost... To me, you know, we just spend a lot of time here talking about the players and the coach, and this stage of the season is critical, but it's also a kind of a referendum a bit on how Kyle Dubas has built this team.
Absolutely.
Like, you say, like, are the people they've acquired really able to dig down? Like, do they have it in them, or are they skilled players that see the game only one way? And hey, look, there were things I couldn't do. It just wasn't in me. I wish I was a better checker. I wish I would have committed more to, not a 200-foot game. That was too far. Like a 180-foot game.
Top right? of the circle, like, anyway.
That's a far enough. You got goalies back there. But maybe they don't have it. I mean, I don't know how anybody would have that answer, except now you're in the throes of this. They've lost all four games since Marner's been out. You know, you go back to these seven guys, you know, Riley hasn't been terrific this year. He's got nice point totals, but that's not, you know, not as much impact. Tavares hasn't had as much impact. Kapanen had started slowly. I think he's played quite well, actually. I think Nylander's done quite well. But do they have it in them? And I'm leaving out Matthews because I always think there's a little bit more. He's got great numbers. He's in the top 10 in scoring. I think there's more there. Like, I really do. I think, like, when he plays those beast games, you're like, oh, my gosh, that's the guy.
Well, you saw that on Friday, right?
I think that's there.
You saw that on Friday. Yeah. He was using his body all over the ice against
Boston.
But
we were really excited because he had 3 hits in the game to go with the 9 he had coming into that game.
Right, exactly.
Now, those can be misleading stats, right? But 3 hits he had, and he had 9 up to that point.
Well, and that's what you want. I think he is obviously a primary piece tonight, clearly. I mean, he has to be every single night for them. But he's top 10 in scoring, but 13 of his 14 goals are at home. The only goal he scored on the road was the first road game in Columbus, the third night of the season.
And,
so,
Ray, what would his teammates do if he just went out and had 5 hits in the first period and just rolled people over, cross-checked someone off the first face-off? What would that bench do?
That bench would, honestly, we all know, it would erupt. Like, it would be so energized if that... And he's not that he's got to run around like a knucklehead.
No.
But man, they would just go, he's doing it, I'm doing it. Like, you don't even have a choice. Like, I remember, and, you know, Jeff and I often reference Ron Francis because we both played with him for a long time. I remember when Ronnie would do something like that, a little bit out of character, maybe, and you'd go, holy smokes, if he's doing that, we're doing that. Like, I didn't have a choice. Ron would see that something needed to change, and he'd dive in somewhere, and you'd be like, well, if he's doing it, I have to. Mm-hmm. And Matthews is the same, I think, is the same type of character that if he does it, there's no way William Nylander can go, oh, yeah, look at him, isn't that good? I'm just going to go over here. No, he's diving into the middle of it, too.
Do you think he knows he has that capability in a game like tonight?
He better.
I'm not sure he knows. Because if he knows, why wouldn't he do it? And I know it's not in his character, but...
Yeah, but Pooley, I think this is where, like, you know, the fact of the matter is they're extremely young, and maybe they don't quite get that you can make an impact without scoring. They don't really truly understand that there can be an impact made without the puck on your stick. And look at the last two Stanley Cup winners, right? Nobody seemed to say anything about Ovechkin's comments now, by the way. Because maybe he was right, that when you're young, you play one way. As you get older, you play another way. You learn more. Like, they're young. They've got whatever they think they're giving right now, it's not enough, and there's more there. They've got to learn how to get to the more, because maybe they don't know how to get there. The last two Stanley Cup champions have been older teams and bigger teams. And they're young, and they're not big. And so they're going to have to fight that little trend that we're seeing here if they expect to be successful.
So, a bit of an ugly scene last night in the Washington-Anaheim game. We saw something that we have seen before, but we haven't seen in quite some time. And, like, if you haven't seen it, Garnet Hathaway was in a scrum. He kind of got jumped by two different guys on the Ducks. And Gabranson popped them pretty well. And then Hathaway spat at him, and it was... like, clear as day. You could see him. It wasn't like, hey, I was spitting my mouth guard out, I didn't mean to get you, it was shrapnel. He spat at him, he hit him, and he's going to have a hearing tomorrow.
That hangs with you, man. Roberto Alomar, as good a player as he was, and he's in the Hall of Fame, he's in Cooperstown, I always remember him spitting on that umpire's face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, 5 years late getting into the Hall of Fame, too, because of it.
I don't know. I'll never forget him doing that. The home plate umpire, yeah. He spit right in his face.
No, that was...
And for some reason, I'll never forget that. And I don't know why, because you see a million different sports plays in your life a day. The highlights a day. But for some reason, I'll never forget him doing that. And this will hang with this kid for a long time.
Yeah, it's there's not a way to outrun that. It's gross. He sounded really contrite. I don't think the league should let him off with a fine here. I just think for no other than general principles, man, you gotta suspend him here. I think anyway. You remember, guys, the old arena in Edmonton, the Oilers used to come out between the benches.
Mm-hmm.
Marius Tchaikovsky was playing, he was playing for the Oilers. I was going to say, I think he was playing for the Oilers. Of course he was, because I was playing, and I wasn't playing for the Oilers. So I was standing at the edge of the bench, and Tchaikovsky got popped in a scrum, and, you know, his nose was leaking, and it was right by our bench, and so we were giving it to him on the way off the ice, and he turned and he spat, and of course, you know, Big Mouth Ray was at the end, and, you know, I was giving it to him, and he spat at us, and I ended up with shrapnel, blood, and, you know, like,
yeah,
all over my visor. I was like, I didn't even know what to do. I was so mad. I wanted to hit him right over the head with my stick, except he was gone down the tunnel to get, you know, to get treatment or whatever. But it was, for me, it was the grossest thing ever. I can never even think of him without thinking of that. It was gross.
Yeah.
I was asked today.
What Hathaway did is just, there's no, you can't even build.
No,
a
you can't run from
OG
that one, that, man.
I was asked today, what's worse, a sucker punch or spitting in someone's face? And I said, it's not even close.
No.
Not even close.
No. Well, and that's going to be his defense, right?
Oh.
that he got sucker punched and, hey, go, you know, what do you want me to do?
He said the punch knocked the spit out of his mouth.
That is not
That's what
true.
His Ivy League education came up with at that point.
Huh? Well, yeah, here's the crazy part about that. I don't know. I used to watch a lot of boxing, and when those guys would take a straight right hand to the face from a 230-pound heavyweight, sometimes their mouth guard fell out, but never did they spit directly towards the guy that just hit him with a jab. Never.
Yeah.
Correct.
I don't remember seeing that. And I think, you know, the NHL rule book is... you know, sometimes it's open-ended.
Yeah, gross misconduct.
Right. And this, I think, for me, if I was in charge of the rules, you know, I'd put a significant suspension on spitting, on biting.
More than one game?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It would be, like, I'm talking like 10 games. Like, I think if you spit, you know exactly what you're doing. You're spitting at another person on the ice. If you bite somebody, you know exactly what you're doing. Like, you're biting somebody. If... you know, a homophobic slur, a racial slur. Go ahead.
Now, this will sound stupid maybe, Brian, but of those, like, biting, you're not going up to somebody and trying to bite them. The reason you bite them is the guy has his fingers in your mouth.
Right, yes.
And so I've always felt a little different about that. Yeah, well, he probably wouldn't have bit you if you weren't trying to pull his tongue out of his mouth.
He's trying to pull your teeth out.
I'll grant you that, and that leads to, I hear what you're saying. Like, if some guy is face-washing you and you're at the bottom of a scrum and you're in survival mode, then, you know. But remember, who was it on the Canucks that bit Bergeron back in the Cup Final? There was, Burroughs.
Oh, that was Burroughs.
And he went out of his way to go bite him. The glove was not, like, in his mouth. He turned his head and bit him. And... like, I remember saying at that point on the radio, this guy should, why isn't he suspended? That was a Cup Final. Yeah.
You talk about spitting on people. Like, if someone ever bit me and I had my stick, I think I would crack my stick right over their head as hard as I could.
Like, if you're in a pushing match the guy bites you.
Yeah, like, they bit the back of my leg or something, I would just absolutely tomahawk chop their head.
Oh, what? What do you think? They're going to look at you like the old Bugs Bunny cartoon? Like,
I don't know.
Hawk?
Any kind of spitting or biting.
Num. Right.
Even that licking incident where, like, Marchand licked the guy's... I was like, I would go nuts. That's gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's weird because, like, in society, we were joking about this off the air. I think if a cop saw you in a confrontation spit at somebody, they'd be like, hey, knock it off. Yeah. But if you sucker punch them, they'd arrest you immediately.
Yeah.
But on the ice,
just the opposite.
It's the complete opposite.
Well, what about in real life? If you walk to the can and then just in the newsroom there, and you just walk by somebody and bite them on the shoulder, like you're in HR.
Yeah. Oh, I think you bypass HR. Right. The pass card is being handed in on the way out the door.
That's correct.
And you're done.
Yeah.
But you know. Anyway,
seems like a shaky career move.
Yeah, probably
Al's
not.
Al's brother, you might
interest.
Be able to bite him on the shoulder because he's got that turtleneck on and you wouldn't get through.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, enjoy it in Vegas, Ray.
Have
it
fun tonight.
A fun one tonight.
Yeah, I will do that. I will anticipate a pretty frenetic first period. Like,
what is your prediction overall, Razor?
5-2 Vegas.
Yeah. I think the Leafs are going to score first.
Toronto better be ready to start, man.
Yeah, I think the Leafs will score first tonight, and then they'll be so happy and think, there, we did it. We scored first.
I'll bet you 100 it doesn't happen. 100.
How can you
that
not
100
be
I
ready
just
to
gave
start
you,
the game tonight?
How no can kidding.
You not the 100 I just gave you, they do not score first.
All right.
You
done.
Want?
Yeah, done.
All right, done.
Put it on the line. Dude, at some point, they got to score first. 17 of 22, they have not scored first.
The bet is on, a hunch.
Lock it in. Al's brother, he agrees with me. All right, Ray. Good stuff.
Well, I may reference this on the if Toronto scores, I think in my highlight I will say, and Hayes is happy, he's 100 richer.
Thank you.
I think I may say that tonight.
Ray, go up to that media booth and just stuff your pockets full of gummy bears. They got that little candy tray up there.
It is amazing.
Amazing.
Like, you walk by the thing and I tell myself two places. There, Boston and Edmonton. I am not going by the candy spot. They have got amazing selections, and I come back all the time with three coffee cups full of gummy bears and M&Ms mixed together. That's a good combination.
That's just for CC or Gordo, though. That's not for you.
Well, I'll be down on the. I'm going to be down on the ice tonight. I'll just be. I'll see what snacks they have down there where Shane Knighty knows all the little tricks and places to go to.
Ask Gary Lawless too. Gary will have. He'll hook you up down in Vegas. He knows what's up.
He's the guy. We didn't see him yesterday. Of course, I was trying to get my passport back, so I was a little occupied. But
anyway, try to hold on to that tomorrow.
Check that out. Yeah, I hear it's an important piece, an important document.
My understanding. All right, buddy.
Later on, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For the month of November, receive free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle that is financed or leased. Visit Maple Toyota right next to WonderlandMapleToyota.com.